Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And then in verse 4 it says, Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so here again proves that there were people who were disciples, but they did not know. They hadn't even heard about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's just like the majority of Christians in the United States today who have heard that Jesus died for their sins, but they haven't heard that the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire will empower you and give you supernatural ability. And now you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll be able to prophesy. You can say things that you can't know by your natural mind. You know, I called out all kinds of healing, and most of you left before that was done last night. But last night, I was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and saying things that I can't know by just my natural mind. I was saying it by the Spirit of God, and it was true. I was calling out people that had this, and I was specific with some of them, saying that some of you have been told that you have lost years off of your life because of this thing. And the doctors have told you that, and a man stood up and said, "That's me." Exactly. And you know what? I've actually been led before. I've called out people. I said, "Your name is," and I've told them their name. Jesus did that. He saw Zacchaeus up in a tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." He'd never met Zacchaeus. He didn't know him. The Holy Spirit will give you people's names. The Holy Spirit will tell you things. The Holy Spirit will tell you to turn off your water, to buy this stock. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and show you things. You have supernatural ability. There is no reason that we ought to live as mere human beings. And yet I have people come all of the time, and they phrase it differently, but they're basically saying, "But I'm only human. The doctors have said I'm going to die and I've got cancer. What can I do?" Get baptized in the Holy Ghost and get power and quit being only human. One third of you becomes wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. You now have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of you. You have the ability to know things that you can't know with just your little peanut brain. You can get it out of your spirit, man. The Holy Spirit gives you power and ability. And brothers and sisters, if we would just start realizing what we have and appreciate it, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit wants to do so much more in our lives than what most of us are allowing Him to do. You would never feel totally powerless. There's a process. You've got to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit and how to distinguish the Holy Spirit from your own spirit and your own thoughts. And there's a process in these things. But I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit gives you supernatural ability that most Christians are living without. And even if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And in the fourth chapter of Acts, of course, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues. And 3,000 people were born again. And in the fourth chapter is when they saw 5,000 people born again. And they had just been beaten and released from the scribes and the Pharisees. They had beaten the main elders, the apostles, because they were preaching this gospel. And so in the fourth chapter, they turned and went back to the group of believers and they began to pray a prayer. And where is his prayer here in the fourth chapter? Somebody said 23, somebody said 29. "And being let go, they went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said." And they began to pray this prayer. And look at this. And down in verse 29, here's the end of the prayer. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word Notice how they spoke the word. The next verse says, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You know how they spoke the word? They didn't just preach it. They demonstrated it. They did it. They saw miracles happen. And in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Now, they had already been filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But here they are again, the same people being filled with the Holy Spirit. That shows you that it's not just a one-time experience. There is a one-time beginning. I believe that you need an encounter. And when you have a true encounter with the Holy Spirit, and when you run up a white flag and surrender and turn your life over, it's dramatic. And it makes such a difference that you'll never get over it. I believe that there is an experience where your relationship with the Holy Spirit begins, but it's not just a one-time thing. It has to be lived and appropriated on a daily basis. And this is where a lot of people miss it. They have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the way that it's presented sometimes today, it's presented as speaking in tongues is just something you do to prove that you've got the Holy Spirit. And so people will pursue the Lord until they say a few syllables in another language and get a goosebump running up and down their spine, and they say, I got it. And that's the last time they speak in tongues. Man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is much, much more than just a proof that you've got it. As a matter of fact, tonight, I think I'm going to minister on what speaking in tongues will do and why speaking in tongues is important and how you can use it. And most Christians don't have a clue what speaking in tongues is about. They just think that it's something that proves that I've got the Holy Spirit. And the moment they speak in tongues and they get the satisfaction that, man, I've got the Holy Spirit, that's it. Boy, if that's the way you're responding to it, you're missing it. Speaking in tongues, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I speak with tongues more than you all. Talking to the whole Corinthian church. There was hundreds of people. And he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. That's a lot. And he was rebuking them for the way that they came together and just spoke in tongues. And they never had anybody speak in a known language. They were just all speaking in tongues. So there was a lot of speaking in tongues. And he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul spoke in tongues a lot. It wasn't something he did just one time to verify that he had received the Holy Spirit. But it is a tool. It's a gift. And you'll hear many people today preach and say, well, it's the least gift. Based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14. And they'll say it's the least gift. And the Bible does say that you ought to rather want to prophesy than just to speak in tongues. But let me make this point that, man, if it's a gift from God, it's worth receiving. And if it's the least gift, then how are you going to do the greater things if you haven't even received the lesser things? That's like me saying, I can jump from here to the front row, but I can't jump to the back. If I can't do that, or excuse me, I said that wrong. That's like me saying I can't jump from here to the front row, but I can jump from here to the back. If I can't do that which is least, I can't do that which is greatest. If you haven't received the least gift, then how are you going to go on to other things such as the gift of faith and the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles and all of these other things? Man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, it is a powerful, powerful gift. And even though it may not be as great as some, it is a powerful gift and nothing to be shunned. You shouldn't sit there and look down your nose at it. Matter of fact, some people will cite 1 Corinthians and say the Corinthian church was so carnal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was incest in the church and it wasn't being dealt with. They had these meetings where people were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and people were just speaking in tongues. And those things are true, and there was carnality in the church. And so some people will say, see, this speaking in tongues is a carnal thing, it doesn't help you. And yet the Apostle Paul, who rebuked them and told them there's a right way to use this gift and a wrong way to use it, he said in 1 Corinthians 14, 39, I think it is, he says, forbid not to speak in tongues. He did not take the same path that people who speak against it today and say, well, this shows that it's carnal and therefore we shouldn't even speak in it. No, he says, forbid not to speak in tongues. It's a direct command. And yet there are entire denominations today that forbid people to speak in tongues and say it's of the devil. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil and bitter sweet." And what does all that say? "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's where we live today. People are saying, "Speaking in tongues is of the devil." It's not of the devil, it's of God. In the Bible, nobody spoke in tongues except the people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. If speaking in tongues is of the devil, tell me why you can't go into a bar. Why can't you go into a prostitute and hear them speaking in tongues? Why don't you ever see the devil's crowd speaking in tongues? They don't speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not of the devil. Saying that speaking in tongues is of the devil is of the devil. Amen. Speaking in tongues is a gift that comes from God. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus went about doing good. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How's it? Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. And yet the church today, much of it is saying, God doesn't do those kind of things. They passed away with the apostles. If you are praying for healing and things like this, you're of the devil. Again, the devil doesn't go around healing people. It's the supernatural power of God. Jesus did that which was good and healed those that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. Man, let me just quickly do this. I'm going to do this quickly in the name of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The only scriptures I've ever heard used effectively to show that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles, don't operate today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I can take these very verses and prove the exact opposite of this.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
It's difficult for me to share some of these truths because it's broken into little segments, and that's the reason we encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. But you know, even those materials, there is just so much. This is a revelation that I've got hundreds of hours sharing these truths. And really, the best way I have to share this with people is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the college here in Colorado Springs, but we have extension schools, I think 6 extension schools throughout the U.S., 4 outside of the U.S., but we also have correspondence that you can get DVDs and study. And so there's a lot more material available. I encourage you to call and join up with our Charis Bible College today.
Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net.